Item 932.
Accept and appropriate a grant in the amount of $170,000 from the Oregon Department of Justice and the Oregon High Intensity Drug Trafficking Areas Program for sworn personnel overtime for Portland interdiction efforts.
Do you want to read 933 and 934? Are these all kind of related?
They run together, Commissioner,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. 933.
Those two then.
Accept and appropriate a grant in the amount of $36,000 from the Oregon Department of Justice and the Oregon High Intensity Drug Trafficking Areas Program for Portland interdiction efforts. 934, accept and appropriate a grant in the amount of $25,000 from and authorize a letter of understanding with the Oregon Department of Justice Criminal Justice Division for sworn personnel overtime for domestic cannabis eradication and suppression efforts.
Captain Kruger.
Sir, Mark Kruger, Captain of the Drugs and Vice Division. The first grant, $170,000 for the HIDA interdiction team at the Drugs and Vice Division. The HIDA interdiction team consists of four officers and one sergeant in the Drugs and Vice Division, plus eight state and federal agents who are specifically assigned to engage in drug interdiction activities for illegal narcotics flowing into the state of Oregon and being transited out of the state of Oregon on our interstate systems, on our bus lines, on our commercial air traffic, through the post office, through FedEx, through UPS. And that's specifically what they spend their time doing. And they spend their time identifying packages in UPS, USPS. They act on intelligence information that is shared with us through other federal and state and local law enforcement agencies from around the country. They locate these packages of drugs. They conduct follow-on investigations from locating those packages, from locating that money, and they engage in additional drug investigations into drug trafficking organizations that operate in the Portland and northwestern area, and also money laundering investigations based on those discoveries. We have been involved in this particular grant since 2004, and our current iteration, again, is what we call the HIDA interdiction team at the Drugs and Vice Division. The specific use of the dollars are, of the $170,000 grant, $80,000 is expended for investigative overtime for the Portland police officers that are involved with the task force. An additional $50,000 are expended as overtime for our Oregon State Police partners that are involved in the task force. About $12,600 is expended for parking for all the various associated vehicles assigned to the task force. Another $6,000 for investigative databases. And then we have $20,000 for the lease of vehicles necessary to transport the those assigned to the task force.
Does that cover all three items, or is that?
That's just the first one of $170,000, sir. The second grant is for GlamGet.
932.
Lieutenant Mike Krantz. The second grant for $36,000 from Department of Justice HIDA Task Force is specifically for the Metro Gang Task Force for the use and purchase of evidence and information. Metro Gang Task Force is a combination of Beaverton Police, Tigard Police, Portland Police, ATF, FBI, that work together to combat violent criminal gang organizations. And the $36,000 specifically is used for the combination of those officers to utilize in investigations that involve narcotics and gang activity. And that is specific for the purchase of evidence and information only.
34.
And the final one, Commissioner, is the marijuana eradication grant. This is a grant that is administered through the National Office of Drug Control Policy, assigned to the Oregon Department of Justice and administered out to the agencies that engage in this activity. First, let me speak to why we receive these funds, and we've received these funds for the last 18 years. As the experiments around the country with marijuana have gone on, the federal government, through the U.S. Attorney General, has made it quite clear that continued federal forbearance around the experiments in marijuana are largely contingent upon how effective state and local management of those programs are and the enforcement of violations of those programs. So to this end, this money is extended to state and local law enforcement to provide enforcement and management around legalized marijuana. The Drugs and Vice Division follows the U.S. Attorney General's specific guidance through their Smart on Crime initiative And we work on the top three priorities that the U.S. Attorney General has for marijuana, and that is to conduct enforcement that attempts to keep marijuana out of the hands of minors, to conduct enforcement that attempts to prevent money laundering that allows funds, illegal funds from marijuana to go to criminal gangs and cartels, and finally, we conduct enforcement to attempt to prevent marijuana being shipped to from states where it is legal in some form to states where it is not legal. And so to that end, the Drugs and Vice Division conducts its enforcement around those three areas. We receive approximately 300 citizen complaints in the Drugs and Vice Division annually related to illegal marijuana grow operations. That accounts for approximately 25% of our total illegal drug complaints we receive. So we take those complaints in, triage those complaints for the most serious violators, and once we identify those violators, we conduct investigations on those particular cases. And most often we find industrial size marijuana operations where their focus is to ship the marijuana out of the state of Oregon, complying specifically with the Attorney General's concerns. We regularly conduct financial investigations in the Drugs and Vice Division where we review suspicious financial transactions that occur in the city of Portland for evidence of drug trafficking. When we identify evidence of drug trafficking, we conduct investigations around that to determine if there is indeed drug trafficking and then to break up that drug trafficking ring. And finally, we conduct extensive interdiction operations where we, again, with our other HIDA grant, with the HIDA interdiction team, we spend a great deal of time working the buses, working the trains, working UPS, U.S. Postal Service, and other shipping operations to interdict packages that are flowing into and out of Oregon. We are routinely interdicting packages of drugs that come into the city of Portland, and we also interdict large packages of cash that are flowing into the state of Oregon for marijuana that's being shipped out of the state of Oregon. So we believe that with by focusing on the Attorney General's enforcement priorities around the responsible management of marijuana in states where it is legal in some form, that we are doing the best to provide the federal government with evidence that it is being responsibly and credibly managed in the state of Oregon and in the city of Portland.
So, Captain, you would anticipate that even if marijuana was legalized in Oregon, you would continue to do exactly this work for the reasons you stated?
That's correct. In every state where Washington, Colorado, where marijuana has been legalized, and in the states where medical marijuana is legalized, it remains illegal to ship marijuana out of those states. And so in order to, again, we believe that it's important that we do the best to honor the concerns of the federal government by attempting to prevent as much as possible from being shipped to states where it's not legal. So we would continue to engage in this enforcement. This particular grant expires in December 31st of this year. However, we'll continue operations year-round as we identify targets that come to our attention.
Jumping back to 932 for a moment, how do you measure the success of the Drug Interdiction Task Force?
Well, for us, I can say we seize large quantities of drugs coming into the city of Portland, and so we use that as a measurement of success. We also measure our success by the fact that we seize upwards of $1 million in cash every year that is being illegally transferred in money laundering operations in the purchase of illegal drugs. And so that's not an insignificant metric for determining if our enforcement efforts are having some effect on illegal drug trafficking through Portland.
So is a good year one in which you seize a larger number of total number of drugs in cash? Or do you have any way to measure the percentage of total drugs in cash in the region you're seizing in any given year?
It's not possible for us to determine the total volume of drugs in cash passing through the area, but from year to year, we have, in fact, I can say, I don't have the figures on the top of my head, but I can say in the last 10 years, every year we've seized a higher volume of cash coming in and out of the state and a higher volume of drugs coming in and out of the state.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think that's a positive thing because it interferes with and disrupts the criminal drug trafficking organizations that are involved in moving the drugs in and out of the state.
But is it possible that the fact you're seizing more from year to year just means that there's more rattling around?
Well, no, I'd say that it has more to do with the fact of the way drug trafficking has changed within the last 10 years. With the with the pseudoephedrine, outlawing a pseudoephedrine in the United States, or in the state of Oregon, I'm sorry, back in 2004, the local manufacturer, the national manufacturer of methamphetamine, this is one example, has gone down steadily. As a result of that, the Mexican cartels have moved production of methamphetamine south of the border, so they're able to manufacture extremely large volumes of methamphetamine in super labs outside of the United States and then try to transport that in. Our borders are porous, there's no doubt about that, and it's easy to get it across. So the fact that we continue to seize larger amounts of narcotics indicates to me that it is because larger amounts are being manufactured, we're still being successful in interdicting significant portions of that. And I think that that's a positive thing to manage to keep as much of that out of circulation in the public as possible.
Do you try to correlate the efforts of the team with the amount of total drug use in the city?
No. It's a factor in the threat assessment that we rely on every year, but our focus is on mechanically interrupting the drug trafficking organizations as much as possible.
One last embarrassing question. I should know the answer to this, but did council have to approve the application to DOJ last year for these funds?
Yes. Every year that we have the HIDA grant annually and the Marijuana Eradication Grant, council has approved it.
I have one question, if I could, and I apologize for being late. You may have already answered this question, but in the event that Oregonians vote to legalize uses of certain amounts of marijuana this November, and I understand that the supremacy clause, so we're still going to have we would still be in a potential conflict with the feds over that. To what extent would that impact the grant under 934, either the administration of the grant or our compliance with the terms of the grant?
Well, first of all, we'd have to determine if we would apply for the grant next year. That would be the first question that we would ask. The second, and are you referring to HIDA or the marijuana eradication? I'm sorry.
Marijuana. 934 is the marijuana eradication.
First of all, we'd have to decide, based on whatever develops in November, we would have to decide if we're going to apply for the grant. And secondly, the application of those monies, again, fits clearly into the larger federal concern of those drugs being shipped out of the state. And it also fits into the desire for the federal government to see that states and local entities are effectively managing that drug, the legalization of that drug in their jurisdictions. And I think it's incumbent upon law enforcement at some level to have a credible enforcement presence around it. So I think it would still be valuable given that there are other states in the union that do not wish to see Oregon marijuana arrive in their post offices and in their communities. So I think it would be potentially important to continue that effort.
And I guess a related point is there's been a lot of commentary recently about what would be the impact of legalization on driving, and to what extent does use of marijuana result in impairment and therefore result in a safety concern for the public. What is the current state of your understanding of how to detect whether someone is driving while impaired, and how, assuming voters pass measure whatever it is this November, what will you have to do to adapt to that to ensure that people are not driving while impaired?
Well, as it happens, a large portion of my career has been spent in the traffic division, so I've arrested hundreds and hundreds of impaired drivers over the year. Besides alcohol, the substance that is most associated with impaired drivers in the state of Oregon, based on our investigations, is marijuana. It presents something of a difficulty for law enforcement because there is no immediate and obvious test for marijuana impairment as there is with alcohol.
Unless you're in the middle of a Cheech and Chong movie.
That's
probably the only time when it's apparently obvious because there's like billowing smoke coming out of the window.
Presently, we have law enforcement in Oregon has a program and nationally called the Drug Recognition Expert Program, and those are specially trained officers who work in traffic units that conduct specific scientifically based tests to determine what the likelihood is that a person is under the influence of X, Y, or Z drug. And that is currently the best method that we have to detect them. It is going to be more difficult when people are more readily using marijuana in the state of Oregon to specifically detect people who are under the influence. That is a real problem for law enforcement. It is a real problem for public safety on our highways.
So we currently have, in my opinion, a problem with impaired drivers because of alcohol. And I know that every time I take the Banfield home late at night, and just my unscientific sampling of some of the cars around me is that's a problem. We know we have a problem with impaired drivers caused by texting and using cell phones. Commissioner Saltzman has a pet peeve about people thinking that they get a pass at the when they're at the stopped at a light. And frankly, we could just start issuing citations along Sandy, Broadway, and MLK. Everybody at the light has their head down, looking and texting and doing things they're not allowed to do. So we got alcohol, we got cell phones and texting, and now we're going to have marijuana, presumably, if the Oregonian has his way. I mean, are we at risk of creating an untenable situation on our roads if we can't get a handle on these three problems?
Well, sir, I don't think I'd be that alarmist. I think that we will face a higher volume of impaired drivers on the roads based on the free use of marijuana if it is legalized in Oregon. I think that that is going to be an issue. I'm not going to sit here and suggest that we are going to have, you know, catastrophic numbers of impaired drivers on the roads. I think what we do need to do and what science needs to help us do is to identify reliable and more effective ways of easily detecting someone to provide enough proof for a criminal charge for an officer in the field conducting tests. And I think that that's an area where we are woefully unprepared for the legalization of marijuana.
One other question. I know that legislature has enhanced the penalties for texting while driving, but it doesn't seem to have much impact on people driving in my neighborhood. Are we going to have to use even tougher love at some point to get across the message that it is just you're not allowed to drive and text at the same time?
Well, sir, based on my experience working in traffic, one of the best things that is successful in reducing the incidence of violations in any given area is the frequency of the enforcement that occurs. And given our staffing situation presently, we have a difficulty in managing a very robust enforcement environment around DUI driving, around texting and driving. And I think that if there was a stronger effort in place to provide a more vigorous, robust, and visual enforcement presence around those areas, I think you'd see a difference. And the example that I give is this. We have photo radar in the city of Portland. We conduct what we used to call wolf packs in the area on highways where there's a lot of speeding going on. When you see a lot of red and blue lights out there, when you see that photo radar light flash, we get compliance on lowering speeds. We get compliance on people who are violating the speed limit laws. And if we have a more robust enforcement program around DUI enforcement and in the event of marijuana, around impaired driving through marijuana, you see results. And I think that that in conjunction with public awareness campaigns and funding and additional emphasis on drug treatment, I think are some of the best ways that we can possibly attempt to minimize the impacts from what could potentially come.
To just taking a picture at every red light to see how many of the drivers have their heads down texting. I was going to comment on the marijuana grant that even if marijuana is legalized, we would still want to be stopping the activities that you mentioned, the underage use and the money laundering, the drug trafficking. So it seems to me that those are very good initiatives that you've been doing for a long time, and I would appreciate ongoing attention to those.
And I'd just like to say, Commissioner, that we believe in the Drugs and Vice Division responsibly enforcing the drug laws based on the reality in the state of Oregon. And when we come across what I call industrial-sized organizations that are involved in manufacturing marijuana, that marijuana invariably winds up in the hands of minors at some level. It invariably involves drug trafficking or money laundering, and it invariably involves the shipment of marijuana from Oregon to states where it's not legal. And I think that by focusing on those three areas, we are doing the most we can to be responsible to the laws in Oregon, yet also responsible to the larger national picture and concerns.
I agree. Thank you.
So refresh my memory, what happens to the $1 million of money that we seize, or cash that we seize?
Those funds, once the cases are adjudicated, then there is a there's a sharing process between the agencies that are involved. Most of the funds that we seize through the adoption of a federal agency such as HSI or DEA. They have a percentage where they take a certain percentage for the federal government, and the remainder goes to the city of Portland. And typically, it's anywhere we receive anywhere from 60% to 80% of the funds that we seize. Those funds are available for law enforcement purposes such as training, special equipment needs, and things of that like that do not supplant existing budgets in the agencies that are involved.
So there's a designated uses for this seized money?
Yes, sir.
It can't just be used for
No, it's specifically law enforcement. It's specifically reserved for law enforcement purposes.
Right, but I mean within that, is there a subset of more narrow law enforcement purposes that money can be used for, as opposed to, you know, paying operational budget of the police bureau?
We can't use it to pay operational budget. It's only for areas. It's only for specific issues, items, and things that are extra to our given budget. Again, we can't supplant our budget with those funds. So, the funds are most usually spent on providing training for officers. Special purchases of equipment that we do not have budgeted funds for, and usually one-time type purchases for very special equipment, like say a computer server to run the photo radar program, things of that nature.
Andrew, did you have anything you wanted?
Yes,
okay. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you. Do we have anybody that wishes to testify on 932, 933, or 934?
We do have one person signed up, Charles Johnson.
Okay. Welcome. Give us your name, and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning, Commissioners. I won't need 3 minutes. I am Charles Johnson. I want to thank you for your thoughtful questions. But certainly, any federal money that could come back to the city of Portland to help us with our large, some would say oversized, police budget is a good thing. But I hope that the next time this comes around, your questions will also focus to the broader federal budget related to drugs, and not so much enforcement, but we know, and the police know, that there are plenty of people affected by methamphetamine and other drugs, and they're not able to get the treatment they need. So I hope your legislative liaison people will keep up the pressure to consider whether Portland needs to strongly advocate for the feds to keep shifting more money away from co-sponsoring police actions and more into having places for our local methamphetamine and heroin addicts to stop their drug usage and improve their lives. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. No further testimony. Please call the roll. These are all three emergency ordinances, so if you could please call the roll, 932.
Novick?
I have the hardest time with this one because it's not encouraging when I ask how you measure the success of this program, and the answer is measure success by how much drugs and how much money do we seize, and it's not connected to drug use, which supposedly should be the point of drug interdiction efforts. I would seriously consider, despite the fact that this is free money coming in, as Mr. Johnson suggested, in effect, I would seriously consider voting no. Except for two facts. One is that I take Captain Kruger's word that council must have voted to approve the application for this grant, and I presumably have voted for that, so it would be kind of unfair to then say we can't accept it. And, of course, this is an emergency ordinance, although I wish that it had been brought earlier so we weren't in this position. Obviously, apparently, if I voted no, that would mean that we didn't get the money. But the mayor said, I think, a few months ago that he'd like us to have a searching conversation about our role in the war on drugs, and I hope that we engage the state and the federal government in that, and so that we perhaps we're in the position of applying for funds for treatment or other services as opposed to pursuing drug dealers because they're drug dealers. So with that caveat, I vote aye.
Fritz.
Commissioner, you could vote no, and we could take the emergency office. We just wouldn't get the money as fast.
It's my understanding that it would jeopardize getting the money at all. That's what I was told in the briefing by the mayor's office.
All right. Well, I do support these activities that this grant is for, that regardless of your position on whether drugs should be legal or not, they shouldn't be in the hands of minors. They shouldn't be used to create profit any more than drug companies should be using medications to create enormous profits. If people need them, then they should be able to get them at reasonable prices. So I appreciate the work that's being done on this. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye. 932 is adopted. 933.
Novick.
I have less of a problem with this because the Bureau says that this is for drug enforcement activities associated with violent gangs. And I think I said in their discussion of the Drugs and Device Division budget a couple of months ago that to the extent that you're going after people for drugs when really you're concerned about the violence they're causing, I can see an argument for that. So given that, I much less reluctantly vote aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye. 933 is approved. 934.
Novick.
Based on the Bureau's presentation and explanation that even if marijuana is legalized in order to secure the forbearance of the federal government, these are the kind of activities we'd still have to be engaged in. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye. 934 is approved. Okay.